Okay. Thank you. Hello, everyone. I will first like to thank the organizing committee for having organized this conference and for the opportunity they have given me to present a paper in this event. The legality of the collective selling of sports broadcasting rights under EU law has been already analyzed by many sports lawyers and researchers. The focus of my paper, therefore, will expressly be based on the interest of consumers, whether and how it was assessed in this context. I will first try to give a brief summary of the provision of EU law that have to be considered in this framework. Then I will try to define the concept of consumers as from the relevant literature and European Union acts. I will subsequently go through the relevant case law and finally examine possible consequences in light of recent developments. So, the collective selling of sports broadcasting rights clearly implies a restriction of the competition because it prevents single clubs from operating freely in the market, and it imposes on broadcaster an obligation to bargain with an entity provided with monopoly or quasi-monopoly power. These restrictions are usually counterbalanced with some positive effects put in place by the arrangements, typically defined in terms of economic efficiency, such as the reduction of transaction costs or the promotion of a league brand. However, these sorts of agreements usually have an impact also on the final consumers in terms of choices and prices that they will have to pay. In the context of EU law, these agreements might be exempted from the general prohibition laid down by Article 101(1) of the Treaty on the Functioning of the European Union, only if they satisfy the conditions set out by Article 101(3). As already established, a collective selling arrangement between a league or an association of leagues and broadcaster is likely to infringe Article 101(1) of the treaty, which prohibits agreements between undertakings or association of undertakings that directly or indirectly fix prices or other conditions, limit or control the production or the market, or in another way restrict the competition on the relevant market. Now, a restrictive agreement under Article 101(1) of the treaty can be exempted if the four conditions of the Article 101(3) are fulfilled. As from the guidelines of the Commission on the application of Article 101(3), these conditions have to be cumulatively fulfilled. These conditions, namely, are the agreement has to contribute to improve the production or distribution of goods, or the technical or economic progress. It has to be indispensable to the attainment of its objectives. It must not eliminate the competition in relation to the relevant market. And most importantly for us, it has to allow consumers a fair share of the benefits resulting from the agreement. In the case law of the European institution, however, the analysis related to the presence of the last condition has always been somewhat neglected. The benefit of consumers is frequently assumed to be existing when the other conditions are fulfilled, as if any economic efficiency that is created would automatically be passed on to final consumer. Now, as we will try to identify whether the benefit of consumers have been in effect assessed, we should try to define what is intended to be consumer under competition law. In the context of competition law, the term consumers has to be intended more broadly than just referring to final consumers. So as we see from the guidelines of the EU Commission on the application of Article 101(3), the term consumer encompasses all the customers to the parties of the agreement, all direct or indirect users of the products covered by the agreement, including producers that use the product as an input, wholesalers, retainer, and final consumers. If these are the consumers that should receive a fair share of the benefit, there cannot be any certainty that final consumers, in fact, will be better off after the agreement. These might reflect what the Court of Justice of the European Union has said in cases such as T-Mobile Netherlands, where it held that the provision of competition law under the treaty are designed to protect not only the immediate interests of consumers or single competitors, but to safeguard the structure of the market in itself and therefore competition as such. On the other hand, we have some provision on the, of the treaty that might give us a more broad protection of consumers. So consumer protection is one of the supreme goals of the Union established through Article 12 of the treaty. Article 12 is a horizontal clause and established that consumer protection should be taken into account in defining and implementing other Union policies and activities, thus including also the application of competition law. Article 169 of the treaty specified that the protection of consumers might be broken down into the protection of health, safety, and more important for us, the economic interest of consumers. However, consumer protection should mainly address information inefficiency. So its true focus is to guarantee to consumers the possibility to make free and well-informed decisions. Now, if we turn to the case law, the main case that we should analyze probably is still the UEFA Champions League case, an infamous case where the Commission held that the collective selling arrangement of the rights of the Champions League fulfilled the conditions set out by Article 101(3), as it was capable of creating efficiency gains in terms of production and distribution of the product. In relation to the benefit of consumers, however, the Commission merely assumed that the efficiency created by the agreement would have allowed media operators to invest more in new and improved transmission technology, quality television coverage, quality production and presentation, which would have likely represented a benefit for consumers. So while this last consideration of the Commission was merely an assumption, it is sure that as the collective selling of rights would have increased the value of broadcasting rights, the cost that was sustained by broadcaster would be passed on to final consumers. Subsequently, in the Premier League and Bundesliga case, the Commission adopted a commitment decision through which it made binding the amendments proposed by the leagues to their respective arrangement without having to clarify which efficiencies were created and how and where the benefits were passed on to final consumers. So, despite the fact that the Commission has always stressed that the amendments were aimed at fostering the competition within the market and increasing the consumer choice, exclusive contract create a situation where the public is unable to exercise a real choice between platform operators. And as we said before, the inflated price that is paid by broadcaster will surely be passed on to consumer. The fact that the benefit of consumer has not effectively been taken into account might result apparent from the position taken by some national competition authorities. In England, in relation to the Premier League case, the Ofcom has decided to abandon the idea of imposing a no single buyer rule because it would have been too detrimental for consumers. Accordingly, the German competition authority did not accept the arrangement proposed by Bundesliga because it was not beneficial enough for consumers, and it specifically required that the highlights of the matches of the league were transmitted at an early hour on a Saturday evening on a free-to-air television, so to give the possibility to those who did not subscribe to the pay TV to watch the highlights of the matches. So it might be a job for the national competition authorities to step up and require more in-depth recognition of the interests of consumers. Since Regulation 1 of 2003, national competition authorities have to apply directly Article 101(1) and 101(3) of the treaty, but this does not exempt the Commission from fulfilling its own role. Another point, and this is the last point that I want to make, is related to the territorial exclusivity and exclusivity clauses. The role of exclusivity clauses in a cross-border EU perspective might be limited in light of the Murphy case, where the Court of Justice held that the payment of a premium to guarantee absolute territorial exclusivity, which is capable of partitioning the market, goes beyond what is necessary to ensure remuneration for rights holders. The EU Commission has recently opened, in last January, an antitrust proceeding to examine whether agreements between EU broadcaster and US film studios restrict Article 101 of the treaty through the imposition of absolute territorial protection. So when the consumer interests were not taken into account in some instances, the topic related to exclusivity might give some room to satisfy the interest of consumers in that regard. Thank you for your attention. This concludes my paper.
Thank you.